It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 59 degrees in Central Park. Already seeing a crash on the southbound Hutch at Bartow Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. Michael Barr is here now with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. More than 70 gas stations in New Jersey are offering lower prices today as part of an effort to educate people about what might happen if self-serve gas pumps are allowed in the state. A bill has also been introduced in the state legislature calling for self-service at stations with more than four pumps as gas prices rise because of inflation and the war in Ukraine. Advocacy group Fuel Your Way NJ said today's self-serve day of awareness aims to let drivers know that self-serve could help them save between $100 and $400 per year. What do New Jersey drivers think about self-serve fill-ups?
It's a major cover because you don't have to deal with the elements. The elements are the worst.
It's better and safer if they come to you and put the gas in.
New Jersey is the only state that does not allow anyone other than gas station attendants to pump gas. New York households' power bills are poised to surge 12% this summer amid higher electrical demand and soaring natural gas prices. According to the State Public Service Commission, that would exceed the 11% increases of the two previous summers. The new White House COVID-19 coordinator is issuing a dire warning. The U.S. will be increasingly vulnerable to the coronavirus this fall and winter if Congress does not swiftly approve new funding for more vaccines and treatments. Dr. Ashish Jha says that Americans' immune protection from the virus is waning. The virus is adapting to be more contagious, and booster doses for most people will be necessary.
When I think out to the future of the rest of the country as this virus spreads, there are places in the country that have far lower levels of vaccination. I worry about what's going to happen there.
Dr. Ashish Jha. President Biden sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission asking the agency to look into cases of price gouging as there's a national shortage of baby formula. The supply disruptions are due in part to a February recall of some popular brands. New York Republican Elise Stefanik is among members of Congress criticizing the Biden administration's handling of the crisis.
This is not a third world country. This should never happen in the United States of America.
Representative Stefanik, as the FDA is now considering loosening import restrictions. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees keep winning. The pitching has, for the most part, carried them. But last night, the pitching wasn't great. The hitting was a 15-7 win over the White Sox in Chicago. Two home runs, six RBIs for Giancarlo Stanton. Home run for Aaron Judge. He drove in four. Josh Donaldson capped the seven-run eighth inning with a three-run shot. Yanks have won 16 of their last 18. The Mets with a 4-1 win in Washington, so they win another series. They've played 10. They've won 9 with one split. Mets home tonight for Seattle. Rangers are in Pittsburgh for Game 6, and it's not known if Penguin star Sidney Crosby will play. An upper body injury suffered in Game 5, courtesy of a high hit by Ranger defenseman Jacob Trouba. Pens coach Mike Sullivan clearly angered by the hit. The Ranger coach is Gerard Gallant.
I don't think he bothers him one bit. I mean, he plays his game the way he plays his game. And, you know, again, Troops ain't out there to hurt Sidney Crosby. You know, that's not our goal. Our goal is to play physical hockey, and it was an unfortunate play, you know. So, I mean, there's no intent to hurt anybody out there.
Igor Shesterkin back in Pittsburgh, where he gave up 10 goals in three periods over games 3 and 4. Shesterkin already a finalist to win the Vezina Trophy for best goalie, now named a finalist to win the Hart as NHL MVP. Three teams won game sixes to force a game seven. Boston, Edmonton, and Tampa Bay won in overtime. NBA, Miami won in Philadelphia to win that series. Dallas blew out Phoenix. That series going seven. NFL schedule out. Giants will open up at Tennessee. Jets will be home for Baltimore. Rich Strike off that miraculous win at the Kentucky Derby will not be in next week's Preakness. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thank you, John. S&P futures now up 47 points. Dow futures up 278. NASDAQ futures higher by 214 points. The 10-year Treasury down 15, 30 seconds. Yield 2.90%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com and begin your financial legacy today.
Mark markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are rising after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell pushed back against speculation of steeper interest rate hikes. Risk sentiment is getting a boost by a rebound in cryptocurrencies. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 45 points, Dow futures up 265, NASDAQ futures up 205, that's up 1.7%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 16/32, yield 2.90%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or $1.04 at $107.17 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $4 at $18.20.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0391 against the dollar. The British pound is at 1.2199 and the yen is at 128.87. And Bitcoin is up 7.3%, up $30,600. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Kremlin has warned it would retaliate after Finland's leaders said they favored joining NATO. Sweden could do the same within days in a historic realignment triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and four other congressional Republicans have been subpoenaed by House investigators. It comes as the January 6th committee begins public hearings next month, with the final report due out this fall. In baseball, the Yankees were winners. The Mets beat the Nationals 4-1. The Orioles and A's won. In the NHL playoffs, there will be a deciding Game 7 after the Bruins beat the Hurricanes 5-2. The Rangers will try to avoid elimination in Game 6 tonight against the Penguins. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as we get ready to close the books on a wild trading week, we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Matt Maley, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. Several days of slides, of course, Matt. Now we're seeing a lift for equities. Is this capitulation?
Well, we certainly seem to be seeing something that will or have seen something this week that could be viewed as capitulation. And what really happened was we saw this big decline, of course, in the cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and the others, out of this whole all this news about Terra and et cetera, and these stable coins. And what that caused was, you know, was margin calls. There was just forced selling, margin calls. A complete capitulation in that market. The problem is that many of these cryptocurrencies are not particularly liquid. Even Bitcoin's a lot less liquid than it used to be. So what happens is that people are like, oh my gosh, I've got a margin call. I can't raise enough money selling this cryptocurrency. I've got to sell what I can sell. And what, you know, these people own the cryptocurrencies don't own old economy stocks like General Electric or U.S. Steel. They own Apple and Microsoft and Nvidia, and they were just dumping those stocks to meet their margin calls. Now that the cryptocurrencies are bouncing back and stabilizing and bouncing back, that forced selling is over, and now that's what's causing the stock market to bounce back nicely. And this could last for a little while.
So where do you see this bounce going then?
Well, I mean, you know, nothing will comes in a straight line, but I remember back in March, you know, the second half of March, we bounced, you know, 8%, it was 8% or even close to 10% over a couple of weeks. So we could easily see something that strong. The thing is, I'm afraid that it's not going to be, we haven't seen the bottom, because I just think the headwinds that we're facing right now are still out there.
So is the destabilization that we've seen in the crypto market this week, do you think it's just driven by market calls or margin calls, or does it say something about what the overall stability of cryptocurrency as an asset class is? Could we be in line for more volatility going forward?
Oh, sure. No question. I mean, it's you know, we haven't seen it. It's been basically trading as a risk on, risk off trade, for over a year now. And nobody really knows exactly what the fair value on the fundamental side of it is. I mean, I'm a long-term bull on the cryptocurrencies, but it's really hard. Is it, you know, for Bitcoin, is it 20,000? Is it 15,000? Is it 25,000? We don't know, because all this liquidity that the Fed provided, you know, that emergency level liquidity that they provided after, long after the emergency in the economy had ended, took it higher than it should have. And so now it's trying to find a level, and it's going to take a while before it finally finds that level.
Do you think it has some help finding that level with what the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, had to say yesterday, again, taking the idea of 75 basis points at least actively off the table?
You know, that certainly calms things down. It's kind of funny. People go back and forth between saying when he initially took it off the table, it was, you know, for about 24 hours, it was positive. Then it was negative. Now it's positive again. We're kind of all over the map. But I think it does calm things down for a while. The problem is inflation is going to be with us for a while. And in particular, because of this issue of the war in Ukraine, it's now become a war of attrition. That means it's going to last for a long time. That means the sanctions are going to be on for a long time, and that means energy prices and food prices are going to remain high for a long time. The supply chain is going to be disrupted for a long time, etc. So we still have some problems, I'm afraid.
So are you looking for havens then, or do you see opportunity in this market?
Right now, I mean, for short-term traders, I think there's plenty of opportunity out there, not only in some of these big cap names that have been, you know, kind of washed out in the last couple of days, but also in the names that have just been absolutely obliterated and are down quite a bit. I mean, a stock like Netflix has just been absolutely crushed, and it's not like they're going out of business. However, I'm thinking if, as we get this bounce, people want to use that to raise a little bit more cash. I still think we have a lot more volatility for the rest of this year, and, you know, get defensive, play in areas with hard assets like the energy sector, and still you want to play a little bit defensive. Don't get sucked in by a kind of a sharp rally, just like you know, we got back in March.
Thanks, Matt. As always, good to talk with you. Matt Maley, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak, as we watch stocks rise to close out the week. Right now, S&P futures are up 46 points. Dow futures up 273. NASDAQ futures are higher by 212 points, leading the gains this morning with a gain of 1.8%. 10-year Treasury now down 16.30 seconds. The yield 2.90%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 2.59. Looking at Bitcoin, back above 30,000 at $30,600. Just ahead, more on this market volatility, and the January 6th committee issues subpoenas to lawmakers. Top stories of the morning just ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning fog will give way to a few showers today with a high near 70. More showers possible tomorrow, low 70s, and we'll be near 80 degrees with a chance for a few showers. 62 degrees right now.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher as we near the end of a volatile trading week. Yesterday, the S&P 500 came within spitting distance of a 20% drop that would signal a bear market. Joyce Chang, Global Research Chair at J.P. Morgan, expects more wild swings in the markets.
Inflation in the U.S. could be close to peaking, but it's been going up in the rest of the world. And even if you've seen the peak for inflation, the question is, where does it settle? I think that the volatility is really going to stay with us here. And there's still the growth concerns as well in Europe and in China, where we've taken down the forecast.
J.P. Morgan's Joyce Chang says even if inflation has peaked, Fed policy will remain hawkish.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of the Fed, Karen, Jay Powell's latest comments are helping to stabilize markets. The Fed chair was confirmed for a second term yesterday. He says the central bank still plans to raise rates by 50 basis points at each of its next two meetings. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly's backing the idea as well, telling Bloomberg the hikes make sense.
Well, Nathan, cryptocurrency is also rebounding this morning, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin is trading back above the key 30,000 level this morning after falling to nearly 25,000 on Wednesday. Tether, the largest stablecoin used in crypto markets to facilitate trading, is also recovering from an earlier mini crash. Major cryptos were falling with regular market sentiment, but the implosion of the Terra USD stablecoin kindled widespread panic. And as of today, Terraform Labs has halted its Terra blockchain and its related Luna token twice to come up with a plan to reconstitute the Terra network. It's lost its peg to the U.S. dollar. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Shares of Robinhood are also on the move this morning. Crypto billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried took a nearly 8% stake in the retail trading company, and that has Robinhood shares higher in early trading.
In Washington, Nathan, the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection is making waves. It subpoenaed House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy and four other Republican lawmakers. Brad Moss, partner at Mark Zaid, says it's a key step.
This very much crossed sort of an unwritten line about the idea of Congress going after one of their own. We're in a bit of uncharted territory. We don't quite know how this will play out. I mean, we certainly know we're going to see some refusals to cooperate. There's going to be some interesting constitutional issues.
And Brad Moss of Mark Zaid spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Straight ahead, your local headlines, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 59 degrees in Central Park, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Today, more than 70 gas stations throughout New Jersey are lowering their prices as part of an effort to demonstrate how allowing self-serve at the pump could help lower gas prices. New Jersey is one of two states in the nation that does not allow drivers to pump their own gas. A bill has also been introduced in the state legislature calling for self-service at stations with more than four pumps as the gas prices rise thanks to inflation and the war in Ukraine. Assemblywoman Carol Murphy is one of the sponsors of the bill. She says the measure could solve a worker shortage issue.
You come across is gas stations where there are closed pumps. Why? Because they don't have enough workforce to man those pumps, which creates long lines.
Assemblywoman Murphy agrees with advocacy groups that self-serve gas could save drivers between $100 to $400 a year. White House COVID-19 response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha renewed his call for Congress to authorize more funding to fight the virus. Dr. Jha is warning that many Americans with waning immunity could find themselves vulnerable this fall without more preventive efforts.
Obviously, if we don't get those resources, we're going to have to make some very, very difficult choices. Right? We're going to have to make difficult choices about vaccines or treatments. What do we do with tests? Do we really go into a fall and winter surge with no testing capability? I mean, that would be a real problem.
Dr. Jha says the $22.5 billion in COVID-19 relief funding requested by the White House is the bare minimum that we need to get through this fall and winter without large loss of life. New York households' power bills are poised to surge 12% this summer over a year earlier amid higher electrical demand and soaring natural gas prices. That would exceed the 11% increases of the two previous summers. North Korea says six people have died and 350,000 have been treated a day after it acknowledged its first COVID-19 cases of the pandemic. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan. Yankees in Chicago blew two leads. The game was 7-7 going to the eighth inning. The Yanks scored seven runs in the eighth, and they won 15-7. Two home runs, six RBIs for Giancarlo Stanton, the Yankee manager. Darren Boone.
I expect to throw two touchdowns up there on a night when Dylan Cease is pitching, you know, the kind of start he's been off to. But a lot of really good at-bats off of him. Obviously, Big G getting two big ones to get us rolling. And then, you know, we lost the lead there. And it was really good to see guys just continue to push ahead.
Boone's Yanks have won 16 of the last 18. The Mets won 4-1 at Washington. Mark Canna, three hits, three RBIs, first win for Taijuan Walker. The Miami Heat have advanced to the NBA's East Finals, a 99-90 Game 6 win at Philadelphia. Jimmy Butler, 32 points. Luka Doncic scored 33 in Dallas. The Mavs coming off a 30-point loss in Phoenix, won by 27. That series going to a seventh game. Will the Rangers and Penguins series go seven games? Blue Shirts need to win Game 6 tonight in Pittsburgh, where the Pens won Games 3 and 4, 7-4 and 7-2. Not known if the Pens will have Sidney Crosby tonight. He got hurt in Game 5. Tampa Bay Lightning, two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. They faced elimination. They stayed alive with an overtime win over Toronto. There'll be at least three Game 7s. Also Boston and Carolina, Edmonton and L.A. The NFL season will kick off with the defending champion L.A. Rams hosting Buffalo. The Jets week one, home for Baltimore. The Giants at Tennessee. The Giants game in Dallas will be on Thanksgiving. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams has signed a measure delaying a requirement to disclose minimum and maximum salary ranges in job postings. He signed it just days before the current salary disclosure law was supposed to take effect. New York City's salary disclosure law will now take effect on November 1st. When New York households' power bills are supposed to surge 12% this summer over a year earlier amid higher electrical demand and soaring natural gas prices, that would exceed the 11% increases of the two previous summers. It would also be a return to price levels last seen in 2014. A shortage of contrast dye for medical imaging caused by COVID lockdowns in Shanghai will force some New Jersey patients to postpone appointments. Physician orders for CT scans and other imaging with contrast are being reviewed to see if they're absolutely necessary or can be postponed. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Okay, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
John Tucker for 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting Apple's pushing back against unionization efforts at its New York stores.
I'm Courtney Tenehoe on WHAS in Louisville. Nissan is considering adding a new plant in the U.S. on demand for electric vehicles.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Facebook has pulled certain augmented reality tools for users in Illinois following privacy lawsuits.
I'm Caroline Hepko, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. The Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, has been speaking to Bloomberg's Stephanie Flanders, defending the amount of financial support on offer for struggling consumers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. U.S. consumer prices rose 8.3% in the year to April, only a slight decline from 8.5% in March. Inflation, it seems, has already peaked. Now the question is, how quickly will it return to an acceptable level? At the moment, the answer appears to be not quickly enough. The Federal Reserve needs to do better. Last week, the central bank raised its policy interest rate by 50 basis points and said to expect more hikes. But the schedule it's led investors to anticipate would leave rates substantially negative in real terms for many months. Despite the risk that faster than expected tightening might tip the economy into recession, the Fed needs to weigh the case for firmer action and prepare investors for the possibility. The more clearly it commits itself to fighting inflation, the easier it will be. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures right now up 41 points. Dow futures up 229. NASDAQ futures are higher by 188 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield now 2.91%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning fog will give way to a few showers today with a high near 70 degrees. More showers possible tomorrow. Low 70s will be near 80 by Sunday with a mix of sun and clouds and a chance for a few more showers. 62 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're watching this headline crossing the Bloomberg with Elon Musk saying the Twitter deal is temporarily on hold pending details. Again, he's saying the Twitter deal temporarily on hold, and we'll be keeping watch of Twitter shares. They are we're watching Twitter shares in the early trade. We'll be taking a look at those in just a moment. Right now, though, futures are higher and they're rising after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell pushed back against speculation of steeper interest rate hikes. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 41 points, Dow futures up 225, NASDAQ futures up 198, the DAX in Germany is up 1.2%, 10-year Treasury down 14 32nds, yield 2.90%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3%, up $1.40 at $107.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2.20 at $18.22.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0381 against the dollar. The yen 128.92. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher, up 6.4% at $30,380. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A new $40 billion round of aid to Ukraine has wide bipartisan support in Congress, but it is being held up in the Senate by one senator. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says there should be a watchdog keeping eye on how the money is used in Ukraine. All eyes on House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and four other congressional Republicans subpoenaed by House investigators. The January 6th committee begins public hearings next month with a final report due out this fall. In baseball, the Yankees were winners. The Mets beat the Nationals 4-1. The Orioles and A's won. In the NHL playoffs, there will be a deciding Game 7 after the Bruins beat the Hurricanes 5-2. The Rangers will try to avoid elimination in Game 6 tonight against the Penguins. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to get you a few more details on this red headline story just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Elon Musk saying on Twitter that the deal to buy Twitter is temporarily on hold pending details supporting his calculation that spam slash fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. That is according to a tweet from Elon Musk linking to a Reuters article on that story. Twitter shares are slumping as much as 11% in the pre-market trading, while Tesla shares have jumped as high as 4.9%. We'll continue monitoring all the latest developments on that story. In the meantime, we want to get you to some of what's happening in Washington, not the least of which is Jay Powell winning a second term at the Federal Reserve to try to turn the hottest inflation in decades around. Emily Wilkins is with us now, reporter for Bloomberg Government. Emily, Jay Powell did get a bipartisan vote of confidence in the Senate, but as he himself is acknowledging, he has a very tough job ahead.
Oh, absolutely, Nathan. I mean, he's got to figure out a way to get inflation to come down while also avoiding driving the country into a recession. And, I mean, he has the vote of confidence right now. He has that strong bipartisan vote that we saw the other day. But it's not expected to be an easy road ahead, but it's also one that's kind of desperately needed, particularly from Democrats who are facing a very difficult election this November, who, thanks to historical precedent, are likely to lose the House. And that's exactly how much they lose it by is really going to be determined by how bad inflation is when it's time for Americans to head to the polls.
And sort of feeding into that inflation story, or tell me if I'm wrong, this nationwide baby formula shortage that Republicans, as we've seen since yesterday, are really trying to capitalize on politically.
Yes. And I mean, like, let's be very clear here. You're seeing a lot of action both from Democrats and Republicans on this issue. And they're both kind of playing the roles that you would expect. Democrats in the majority. You saw Biden meeting with groups yesterday, trying to put more money towards trying to figure out ways to make sure that that formula supply can get a boost. Obviously, this is not just a supply chain issue. This is also an issue from Abbott Industries needing to recall so many different baby formulas after numerous ones were found to be making babies and infants sick. And so this is a dual-pronged issue here. You still have seen Republicans come out introduce legislation and really sort of attack the Biden administration on this. But you are also seeing Democrats scheduling hearings. We've got at least one for next week, one for the week after. They're going to be speaking with the head of the FDA. They want to be speaking with Abbott Industries on this. And we're also potentially anticipating some additional legislation from Democrats on this that could move even sooner than that. So it's certainly that's something that both parties are very focused on right now. Of course, Republicans don't have the majority at this point, so there's little legislation that they can move, but they're certainly putting pressure on Democrats to address this in a meaningful capacity.
Only have about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but we were expecting that Ukraine aid was going to move quickly, but it's on hold now in the Senate. What's going on?
So despite pleas from the top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, and the top Republican, Mitch McConnell, Senator Rand Paul stuck to his guns and said, if we don't get additional language that I want in there on an inspector general kind of overseeing this funding, I'm not going to give the okay for this to move quickly. And Nathan, you need all 100 senators to get this through quickly. So look, Ukraine aid, it's still going to pass. It's just going to be the middle of next week. And the problem there is that about next Thursday, next Friday, the Biden administration, they run out of that funding that Congress allocated for them to use on Ukraine. So that's the big thing. They have to get that funding replenished. This bill is the way to do it. And we're going to see that sometime next week.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington. We'll be checking back with Emily in the next hour for more on what's happening in the nation's capital. But Karen, we've had some big breaking news involving the Twitter buyout by Elon Musk.
Yeah, and we're watching this tweet here from Elon Musk. He said that the Twitter deal is temporarily on hold. This is pending details supporting calculation that spam or fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. This, again, according to Elon Musk in a tweet just moments ago. And Twitter shares, we're watching those in the early trade, they're down about 19% right now, while Tesla shares are moving higher around 5%. We want to get to a legal story we're watching this morning. Celebrity chef Mario Batali was found not guilty of indecent assault and battery this week. This after a woman accused him of groping her while taking selfies in a Boston bar in 2017. Batali chose to have a judge decide his case rather than a jury. And Boston Municipal Court Judge James Stanton agreed with the defense lawyers that the accuser had credibility issues and acquitted Batali of the charges. There is still the matter of the $50,000 civil lawsuit the accuser filed against Batali. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Bobby Shamoulian, founding attorney of My Law Rights Law Group.
The vast majority of criminal defendants ask for a jury trial. Batali wanted a judge to decide his case. What was behind that decision?
This case involved a serious gamble by the defense. They bet that a bench trial would be better for the defense side rather than leaving it up to a panel of jurors. That means that the judge was the trier of fact, meaning the fact finders, in addition to deciding the law. I feel likely this was because he and his team didn't want a jury to lump him in together with other celebrities accused of behaving badly, like Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Cuba Gooding Jr., who just pled guilty. Of course, the allegations in the Cosby and Weinstein crimes were much worse, but still.
Let's talk about the defense. The defense attacked the credibility of the accuser. Explain their argument.
This kind of ties into the reason I feel his team went with a bench trial rather than a jury trial. I feel that they felt the text messages that they were going to get into evidence would do far better in the hands of this judge. There was excellent work done by the defense to challenge the accuser's credibility. Mainly, she was confronted with her prior text messages with friends joking about the encounter and the night in question, and they discussed ways to potentially profit from it by selling it to the media like TMZ, selling them photos and the story. It didn't end there. It was revealed in cross-examination by the defense that the accuser tried to get out of jury duty in 2018 by claiming she was a clairvoyant. I've heard some creative ways to get out of jury duty, but this one I won't forget. The defense asked her if she made those statements on the stand before in 2018. She said she did. Then they asked her if it was true. She replied yes to some degree. I really feel the judge hearing this testimony swayed him towards the defense.
Now, as far as the civil case, the standard of proof is much lower. Could she actually win the civil case even though the prosecution lost the criminal case?
That's certainly possible. a criminal case deals with a much higher standard. The prosecution in this case had to prove their case that Mr. Vitale caused an indecent assault and battery beyond a reasonable doubt. And these cases can be difficult for the prosecution to prove.
And that's Bobby Chamoulian, founding attorney of My Law Rights Law Group, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. And they continue to watch Twitter shares. They're down 19% this morning after Elon Musk said that Twitter deal is temporarily on hold. We're going to continue to watch those shares and have more details on that story straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues on a day when futures are on the rise. S&P futures up 36 points this morning. And this is Bloomberg.